This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after a 90-minute Survivor here tonight. And look, Dwight may have interviewed many a famous politician, but has he ever interviewed this man, the knowingest know-it-all, Stephen Fishback?
Wow, I can't believe I still have that title. That's I feel like we just haven't, we need to put some, put that back in the game. Hi, Rob. It's great to see you. You look wonderful.
Thank you.
I was asking you earlier and how you maintain your incredible hairline. I don't feel like I got a great answer about that.
No.
Wonderful. You're like, you're mid 40s and you get this like, the hairline of a 18-year-old.
I don't know about
beautiful.
That. Yeah. All right. Stephen Fishback, here we are after a 90-minute Survivor, an interesting episode all around where we had certainly an interesting finish, some interesting new twists to the game. We will talk about it all here with you and then, of course, take some questions from our listeners as we get ready to talk about another week of Survivor. Stephen, happy official 10-year anniversary. We celebrated this past Monday was the 10-year birthday of Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yeah, there's some very nice tweets about the 10-year. I mean, of course, the extremely fulsome Shannon Gus, as always, had wonderful things. She's great. Nobody can give you an ode like Shannon Gus can give you an ode. Nobody is as voluble in her Twitter praise as Shannon Gus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So always appreciate hearing from everybody about that. And so here we are now, a decade in, ready to talk about, Survivor firsts galore, Stephen.
Yes. A lot of Survivor. Are there firsts? Were there a lot of Survivor firsts?
Oh, so the
first beads used as an idol.
Yeah. And then that twist ending. I really want to get your take on how that all came together. Of course, we will take
Rob, I'm going to spoil you right now. I loved it. I loved it all. I love this episode. I'm loving this season so far.
Great.
I'm so upbeat and enthusiastic. It's after my bedtime, which is why I may not seem as upbeat as I usually am, but like inside,
like
I'm
if we did this
upbeat
at like 7:30, you would be just like over the moon. Yeah. If we were on the
West
Coast,
like bedtime, that's like dinner bedtime.
Okay.
Maybe like 8 o'clock. It's fun. I'm really enjoying it. I mean, the 90-minute episode obviously adds so much like depth and so much. We've gotten to know these characters so well. But also the way the advantages are kind of unspooling this season, where I feel like like you said about the past two seasons, they kind of came in hot, guns blazing, and this time it's really felt like these advantages have sort of crept in and been integrated very naturally. I'm loving this season. I feel like it's very enjoyable. I'm really enjoying watching Survivor.
Okay, great. We'll get into all that. I want to get questions from the listeners in the chat. You can ask your questions. We will flag them for later on in the show. Tomorrow on the podcast, I will have an exit interview with Justine. I want to hear about how she feels now, knowing what she knows about the beads and everything that happened at that tribal council and at camp. And so I'm sure she will have a lot to say about this. And then I will have a very fun interview later on in the day on Thursday. I am really excited to get to talk to J.D. Robinson from Survivor 41.
Oh, that's really fun. That's
yeah.
great.
I think
that's
that was a fun spot. Really excited that he was up for doing that. Make sure you don't miss any of that when you subscribe to Rob as a Podcast. robasawebsite.com/subscribe. So, Stephen, I actually would love to start with the twist that we got in the editing twist. You tweeted out the Moby Extreme Rules Genius music cue. And I mean, that is what it felt like where... Before we got the final vote, we flash back to actually Cody did get Noelle's bracelet, her trinkets, her Pandora trinkets for the Infinity bracelet. And that activated Cody's idol. And he did have a vote. And you said you loved how they did this.
So there are two things that made it not as great. I mean, first of all, first of all, I think they did a really great job of like building this tension of like, did he or did
yes.
he? You know, I mean, if we just knew offhand whether or not Cody had done it, we would know the result already. And then there was this question that added so much tension to that tribal council of did he or didn't he? Is he still going to try in tribal? I thought maybe that he was going to like push for it in tribal council. You know, I saw a lot of people tweeting about how they were all looking at Noelle's wrist to see if she had beads. You know, it added this really fun element of tension to an otherwise sort of straightforward, it's either this person or that person kind of tribal council. So I loved it. I thought it was really fun. I loved the jump back. You know, I mean, like you were saying, it's reminiscent of The Genius, which is a show that you and I used to podcast about, which a show I really loved, where they would always right before the end kind of flash back to, you know, Sangmin pulling off this, you know, incredible strategic move. The problem with it, the only downside with it this episode was that two things. First of all, I thought the commercial break was really badly timed. I mean, you know, they got to get commercials, got to pay their bills.
But like, I got to say, when we got the commercial break, I'm like, oh my, are they going to give us the result of this? I kind of thought like, were we going to a 2-2 tie and then it'll be to be continued? Like, I kind of thought that like, I was like, oh my God, what are we doing? Yeah.
But it just totally sapped the drama of the moment. You're like, it's building. And like, oh, and here's a Subaru. You know, it was not great. The other thing was I don't remember where it came, though, but like the other thing was the fact that Cody got a vote. So we knew already that because Cody received a vote, that Justine was definitely going home. So Cody's vote no longer mattered at that point. So because they split the votes, the drama of the moment was kind of sapped, which kind of stunk, you know, because it was such a cool thing that happened at the last minute, such a cool reveal. But the fact that it actually had no impact on the actual vote itself did take away some of the drama.
You know, this is, I think, a situation where, you know, Survivor has a boring vote that they need to spice up. So I have to say, I like that they went for something, but I will actually push back and say, I actually didn't like the way that they did this. And it was reminiscent for me of that. There's a scene towards the end of Survivor Micronesia where Amanda Kimmel goes to, she has gone to Exile Island and she is like, oh, she's scrambling. She's looking for the idol. And it's like, does she have it or does she not have it? And she's like, oh, the clock is ticking. I got to find it. And you go into tribal council and you don't know if she has the idol or if she doesn't have the idol. And people talk about that scene a lot. Okay, that was great. They should do stuff more like that because you don't know if she's going to have the idol, because if she does, she's going to play it. And then ultimately she'll be able to protect, you know, herself. And then that's how, and again, I know I might be getting some of the facts wrong on this, but the story is still Amanda. You didn't know if she had the idol or not. In this instance, that it wasn't left as I saw it as well, Cody is saying like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Like, it wasn't really a question. Like, did you have some sort of question about like, is he going to be able to get it before tribal council? It was presented to us as he did not get the last bead from Noel. And so I'm at tribal council and I really thought, is Jesse going to flip his vote? Because I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, there's not enough time to go to some sort of a tiebreak scenario. I thought that maybe did Jesse put a third vote on NECA here? And then ultimately to avoid the Chanel and, you know, Daniel situation and High from season 42, did he go to avoid the 2-2 tie? Did he put a third vote on NECA and ultimately cut bait on her? And then ultimately we get the reveal. Oh no, he actually did have the thing the whole time. And as you mentioned, the women split their votes. And then, so it really didn't matter, but I just felt like that it was kind of like where we are trained to watch the show as like we are sort of participants trying to figure out what has happened. And we didn't have all the information and it wasn't even presented in a way like, ooh, does he have it or not? It was just given to us as that he didn't get the thing.
Well, I'm going to push back on your pushback.
Please.
Because I thought that it was presented as something could happen. You know, so we have, you know, Cody goes down to the beach. He's talking to, I don't remember if it was Necker or Jesse. And he's saying, well, I couldn't get it, but I'm going to keep trying, you know, because we, you know, we got to make it happen. And mm-hmm. So I got the sense of like, okay, he's going to keep trying. Like, and based on him saying he's going to keep trying. And so I thought that there was a chance, you know, that he was going to go back off the beach. I thought there was a chance we were going to see him scrambling at tribal council to get the beads. I did still have it in the back of my mind because they've been doing more and more flashbacks. I actually had a genius moment flashback that happening in my mind, like that it could happen because
wow, you are ahead of the game. That's why you're the knowingest know-it-all.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I did feel like that last moment that they left us on with like, I'm going to keep scrambling. Like that was unresolved. You know, there was more coming based on that. They created this, you know, unsolvable problem. You know, this is a great conflict. You've got, on the one hand, you get Cody. He really wants those beads. On the other hand, you got Noel. She doesn't want to give him the beads. It was great. It was really great. You know, and it was such a silly thing too. Like this like beaded bracelet that she wanted. And by the way, if I were Noel, I would be annoyed about it too. You know, this peer pressure, like she's not friends with Cody. Cody's voting against her alliance. You know, they're like in opposites.
Yeah.
You get very few items on Survivor and to have these like fun beads that you got. And
right.
Like, if you want a little souvenir and now to be peer pressured to give them to Cody, like, so he can have like an even more fun hat, like the kind of like big, you know, show offy guy is going to have like another thing to show off at the expense of my beads. Anyway.
Yeah.
I love Cody as a character, but I totally empathize with Noel in that scenario. But I thought, so you've got this like conflict and then Cody says, well, I'm going to keep trying. And then something else has to happen, right? They can't leave it at, I'm going to keep trying. So mm-hmm. I felt like that there was that unresolved thread that it sounds like you didn't feel like there was.
Yeah. And I'm also, when I watch the episode again, I really want to see, did they just completely skip over Cody walking into the booth? Like typically we get like, you don't have a vote.
They had him like walking in and then like fade to the next one. They didn't have him. They did no hint with the parchment mm-hmm. or anything.
Yeah. So I just felt like it was kind of a bait and switch more so that like I felt like on the genius, like, oh my God, like I can't believe that they did that. It wasn't even like the way that they got the bead from Noah. It was just like NECA was like, come on. Like, all right, here it is. Like it wasn't. Well, no,
that's true. That was kind of a bummer. Like in terms of it not being some like epic salesman pitch, it was sort of like, you know, just a little bit extra leaning. Mm-hmm. But I actually feel like the genius would more have the narrative of, well, Sangmin didn't pull it out, so he's screwed now. And then it would be like, actually, he did at the last minute. I felt like this was more mm-hmm. classically structured in terms of there being a sense of something else has to happen in this drama.
Okay, well, I want to then discuss the actual mechanism of the Beware Advantage. We saw all through Survivor 41 and 42 in the pre-merge, you had the phrases. You find the Beware Advantage, you have to go say the phrase. Here, we have a little bit more of this predicament that Cody ends up finding himself in. He has to get the distinct bead of each person and then have that in his possession on his bracelet to activate him having an idol and also getting his vote back. How do you feel about this mechanism for the Beware Advantage?
I really enjoyed it. I have to say, I would love someone to push back on me and tell me why I'm wrong.
I liked it too, but I'm wondering, will this be the same for all the tribes? Because over at Baca, for instance, Mariah is gone. presumably with her bag. What will happen there?
Maybe it's only the beads with the players left in the game.
I guess. Well, I mean, it seems easier now. You don't have to get four.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but then that's another way to get your vote back, is get all the other people voted out, so you don't have to collect their beads.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and then they could have shifted the vote to Noel and vote her out, and then he gets his vote back potentially if that was the case. I wonder if it will be something different at each tribe.
Yeah, I mean, it was very effective. You know, the phrases was very fun. It was very goofy. It was very public, right? I think what's really fun about the way that they're doing these beware advantages is that it creates some risk, some trade-off with having an idol. Obviously, a huge trade-off for Cody, who almost completely scuttles his alliance's plan. And I think like having like a task that involves all of the other players on the tribe is really smart, because it inherently creates these interesting intertribal or intratribal
a dilemma.
But like also like everyone's like character is relevant. All the different politics of the moment are relevant. You know, like I said, like Noel is less inclined to give Cody her beads because like they're not on the same page. But like yet he still has to get the beads. You know, and then you see Justine like, you know, happily offering her beads. So I really like that it's a tribal moment. It's a much more of a character moment. The funny phrases were very goofy and they were silly, but I think this is like actually adds to the richness of what makes Survivor great, which is these, you know, the politics and the relationships between these characters on a tribe.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Really looking forward to seeing next week if the beware advantages are the same on the other tribes. And do you feel like the way that this is structured also lets us know there will not be a tribe swap? Not that we thought that there would be one, but the way that this was, it would be almost impossible. You get swapped to another tribe, you're done.
New beads. Yeah, they got to get
new beads. Right. Who this?
That's a great point. Yeah. That's just, that's a great point. There won't be a tribe tie. That's a really good insight.
I'd love to talk with you about Justine and how you felt like she did. Really, Justine was painted as somebody who did not really seem to get along with Jesse. It seemed like that Cody had it out for her. Boy, that I don't know what salespeople ever did to some of the members of this tribe, but they do not care for the salespeople.
Well, Cody is such a great salesman that he has like permanently tarnished the reputation of all salesmen. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting. It's funny, like there was that scene when Nekka's coming out of the water and she's like, well, what are you guys thinking? And Noelle and Justine are just like, well, we better talk with the guys about it. And I will say, you know, those first votes on Survivor are hard. You are not used to lying to somebody's face. You know, you can't blame someone.
Even if you have a good lying face?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's where I was going. So the fact that Justine, though, later said she was really great at lying, you know, sort of belied by the actual episode.
Yeah. Well, did she lie to anybody? If anything, she was like too truthful. She was like, you know, when she straight up asked Jesse about how do I know I can trust you?
How are you going to find out if you don't ask, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Do you think that was the right call for the voters here?
Yeah, I would say so. Right. I mean, certainly it seems like for Cody and Nekka, it was the right call. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, I mean, it seems like Justine was a little, you know, didn't have a great vibe with Jesse. And then, I mean, also just isolating Dwight is a good move for Jesse, right? So they give him fewer options. So, and then that's an interesting dynamic too. I was really disappointed with Dwight this episode. I thought he had a pretty bad episode overall.
Why?
What did you think, Rob?
Well, I'd love to hear why you felt like it was so bad for him.
Well, I mean, when he was talking about all the great he was talking about how well connected he was to everybody on the tribe. But then, like, Jesse was like, oh, Dwight doesn't actually have any connections to anybody on the tribe, which has sort of been born. I mean, granted, you know, we're seeing a very edited episode, but sort of was borne out by what we actually saw, which was Dwight did not seem to have particularly great connections to anybody. But more saliently, I felt, you know, there was this inherent tension in the episode, right? On the one hand, you had Jesse, who really wanted to vote out Justine. And then you had Dwight, who wanted to keep Justine and Noel and vote out Nekka. Now, Jesse had a vote.
Yeah.
Dwight had no vote. But there's Jesse saying, we're in this together. My vote is your vote. We're a great alliance. You know, let's figure this out with the two of us. Jesse feels like, it seemed like Jesse was being the more accommodating, the one who was saying, you know, more trying to create a bond, more trying to like invest in this twosome. Mm-hmm. While at the same time, Jesse also had all the power. Dwight, who had none of the power and none of the leverage, if it seemed to me anyway, like he was creating more of a line in the sand. He was saying, no, I'm not going to do it your way. No, we can only do it my way. You know, he was obviously furious at Tribal Council at Jesse instead of, you know, instead of immediately being like, oh, great move. You know, I mean, whatever. In the moment, people are mad, but we'll see what happens next week. It does seem to me like he is spending, you know, like social currency that he doesn't have. What do you think?
Yeah, the relationship between him and Jesse sort of like being split between his allegiances. He had a better relationship with the women, but he also was in this predicament where he has no vote here. It would have been very interesting to see if he got the advantage of, I guess, having an extra vote, which side he would have come down on this. That do you think that he should have said anything to the women to sort of like, but I guess for him, he felt like, okay, well, Jesse has sort of like told me, okay, we are voting blocks. He got down on one knee and proposed to him at Tribal Council. So I think he felt like he was probably, you know, when somebody proposes to you, Stephen, you know, you feel like that they're not going to then do the opposite of what you want.
I mean, you know, but any marriage is a marriage of compromise. And I felt like, you know, Jesse was the one who was much better at creating compromise where, I mean, and again, like obviously they were both rigid. Ultimately they were both rigid, right? Yeah. Jesse refused to go to Dwight's side and Dwight refused to go to Jesse's side, but Jesse was the only one with a vote. You know, it really seemed like Dwight's real goal here should have been building that bond with Jesse, right? Jesse is coming to him saying, let's build a bond. Let's make it to some.
Jesse came to him and said, hey, you and I, we are going to be in the pineapple zone. And let me just say, and that one time, this other couple said to us, hey, we'd like to be into the pineapple zone with you. And I have to say that things that got awkward.
Well, listen, I thought the four of us had all talked, we'd never talk about that again. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, you know, I appreciate the anonymity.
I didn't blow up your
I thought
spot.
We all agreed we would never bring that up.
Right.
I thought like, again, like I think Dwight's goal here should have been like building an alliance with Jesse. And instead he seemed like he really, you know, because he had no leverage, he had no vote. Instead, he really dug in his heels and like insisted on doing it his way. And I think that's going to create a real strain. It's the first vote of the game. You know, it's like, what day is it? Like day four. You need to be more invested in building the alliance and building trust than, you know, in getting your way. And again, like, you know, I see why Dwight wanted his way. It's obviously better for him to have more, you know, avenues, but he didn't have any leverage. He didn't have a vote.
It's very fun, this tribe, this Vesti tribe going to this tribal council that, of course, we have, you know, your favorite, the voting blocks here of Justine and Noelle. And then I think that Cody and NECA is such a fun pairing that in the preseason did not think that these two would be, you know, allies or really, you know, see eye to eye, but that they have like this like island marriage, the two of them. That's also super interesting. And then you have this relationship with Jesse and Dwight. And now it's interesting to see, I guess, that Dwight has nowhere else to go if he wants to be mad at Cody.
Right. I mean, he can, you know, make a new pair with Noelle, but that's not a great spot for him. Mm-hmm. What's also interesting to me about that, the whole, you know, the tribal dynamic was that everyone was a bunch of people said that nobody talks strategy with Cody. But I felt like we actually saw Cody talk a fair amount of strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not like extensive conversations, but it did seem well, we're not going to vote out of NECA. Like, who's it going to be? You know, like he seemed present to me. I don't know. Did you, what do you think, Rob?
Yeah. I thought that he seemed like that. He has a pretty, good sense of like, where everything goes in the game. I don't know if he was, the mastermind, but I thought that he did like a very good job, especially also once he found the Beware advantage. Now, I know I saw a lot of people talking about this and wanted us to discuss this. The idea of why on Jeff Probst's Green Earth would anybody open the Beware advantage in that spot? Live in or not?
He must have just forgotten that there's a vote, that you lose your vote, right? Like maybe he remembered, oh, you've got to say a funny phrase and that's the only way to activate the idol. I think he had to, or he just, you know, got caught up in the moment of like, oh my God, I'm on Survivor. I stay four. There's an advantage in front of me. This is so cool. I'm living. Yeah. You know, I've got this new power. And he just completely forgot about it. I do think it's very possible that he forgot about the whole sacrificing your vote thing. Yeah.
That's a big tomato to forget about.
Salient thing. Yeah. But it definitely, was reminiscent of last season, and, you know, him losing his vote certainly could have been another locked catastrophe. What are we saying? Deadlocked catastrophe vote.
For sure. I kind of wonder if that's like what the producers were hoping for in that spot where they already know that where Dwight already has lost his vote, you know, the right person finds it. You're going to get, you know, probably the most exciting moment that you got from the pre-merge in Survivor 42 was that vote with, Daniel and High in the standoff. And, you know, that you have to imagine there were people that were hoping that we would get that again here.
Right. And two, you know, I mean, for anyone to have, a challenge where they had to, you know, convince everybody else to give them something, like the salesman is the perfect person for that challenge. I mean, Cody, especially just being, you know, such a big fun character. Mm-hmm. People may disagree that he's a fun character. I find him to be a big fun character.
I think he's very fun. So your mileage may vary on how fun, but I think he's been, really fun to have on the show so far. I want to talk about a couple of the other tribes. I guess quickly, Coco, I feel like not a ton to discuss tonight. They far and away had the least airtime of the three tribes. Anything from Coco that you saw that you feel like is worth mentioning?
Well, you had speculated last week that Gio and Ryan were a pair, and it seemed like a fair guess, but I had, said there's no evidence. We haven't seen it on the tape. Now there is.
They bonded doing evidence. The challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was no actual proof of that, but, but in fact, now there is the tape. We have the tape. So, Gio and Ryan are like on the chart as a
brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll
see. Very fun use of back cracking sound effects too.
Mm-hmm. You think that was Foley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that was actual backs. I hope that wasn't actual backs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Consult your chiropractor. Meanwhile, over at Baca though, not back, that they had a lot going on here in this episode. And so we sort of, saw how, some of the interesting tribe dynamics where I had thought, that the alliances were a certain way over there. We certainly see Gabler struggling. We saw the men thinking about sticking together, which I did not think that was as much of a possibility as it
seems. That
seemed
like a throwaway comment, though. That was more like that really. I mean,
that's like, if you hear anything, let me know.
I kind of got that. I mean, Sammy was like, well, we're here. Mm-hmm. You know, let's keep it strong. I mean, then he did have a confessional about it, but it didn't feel like a real deep thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I thought that was really interesting was Ellie talking about the other people at the tribe. And she talked about how that she sees Owen and Sammy as like her children in the tribe. She's like the mom.
Yeah.
And that she actually sees Sammy as sort of like the more like independent older child of hers, which is very interesting, because then she said that Owen, she felt like, was the younger tribe. And while the ages are actually inverted in real life, my fellow guild member of the junior deputies, Owen, and she felt like is more needy and like sort of needs supervision.
Yeah. And we saw that, right? That he seemed, that Owen seemed to be getting more upset about things. You know, he was really mad about having to carry the water. He was really like,
I didn't think he was mad about having to carry the water.
A lot of complaining. A lot of complaining on that.
Well, you gotta say something. Put the camera in your face.
Yeah, the camera's right there.
Yeah, you are.
I've been there.
You just gotta say something.
Yeah. But he was saying that he was a complainer, right? Didn't he have a confessional
he did say
about
that
how
his friends,
he's a curmudgeon?
Yeah, nothing curmudgeon. Wrong with that.
Yeah, no, listen, we're two curmudgeons here. We got Sadler and Waldorf, you know, who are we to talk?
Yeah. So I thought that that was interesting. And then there was also a lot of discussion about Gabler and about when are they going to be able to take a shot at Gabler. So they win the fishing kit. He goes off into the ocean and we get to see members of the Baca tribe, led by Janine and Ellie. Okay, let's go through Gabler's bag. Steven, you and Dalton Ross were in a heated debate on Twitter.
We were furious.
Earlier tonight. Dalton Ross said, no way survivors should not be allowed to go through each other's bags. It should be against the rule. You fought back vehemently and said, it's absolutely part of the game.
100%, and I will die. No, I don't really care.
Don't say that.
I don't really care that much. I'm more on the fence, but it is an interesting question. My point to Dalton was, I don't like any rules that sort of inhibit what the characters can naturally do in their environment. That's why I hated the knowledge is power advantage. Like, you can't lie when someone asks you a question. That seems really corny to me. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain rules that you have to have in any game, like the rule of you can't physically attack the other competitors, you can't destroy their clothes. Like, those are like core rules to even enable the game to function. But beyond that, I would rather that the play was sort of organic to the actual experience of being on Survivor. And if someone has a bag on Survivor, physically, there's nothing prohibiting me from going through it. What I think is cool about the bags being searchable is, you know, physically, there's nothing prohibiting me from going through it, but there's a lot of social pressure of, can I go through this? Will I get caught? What will other people think about me if I do this? Am I going to look, you know, skeezy? The other thing is, there's a very simple solution to having your stuff in your bag, which is just bury it. You're in a giant jungle, just dig a hole, put your thing in the hole and put the sand on it. You know, it's pretty straightforward of how to effectively hide something in a giant jungle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always the fear that you'll lose it, which we saw, of course, with, almost happened last season. Mm-hmm. But
Or forget to bring it to the tribal council.
Yeah. Well, I've been there. I could be convinced. I mean, Dalton's argument, he says he expands on it in his recap, which I haven't yet read, is that it's better television if they can't go into the bag. It's not, you know, it's more a question of creating that ambiguity is interesting. Right now they have to guess. You know, it's if Owen says I'm 95% sure that it's, you know, for the first two tribal councils instead of for your first two tribal councils, which is a huge distinction. And if they just rely on him and then they make a huge mistake based on that, that's an amazing TV moment. And actually, like, just talking through it, I'm kind of convinced.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, I think, a very interesting discussion. I think you could make it a rule. I think the rule is unenforceable. And so, and if that's the case, if you want that to be the rule, then you have a hidden immunity idol, hand it back to the producer. And then it's like, okay, before you go into the tribal council, they'll give it back to you. Because then... Right. If you really want that we want it to be a secret, we don't want the other players to know that somebody has a thing, then, you know, don't let them hold on to it. Just let, you know, production keeps it in a locker for you. And then before you walk into the tribal council, here's your thing back. And then you can play it if you want to, because I think that would be interesting for TV, but it is an unenforceable rule to say you cannot go through people's bags. There's so much time when you're out there, when you're unmonitored, you'd have access to the bags. What now? Somebody has gone through a bag. What are they out of the game? What's the penalty? Yeah.
Or accidentally. I mean, you know, we've certainly seen people accidentally have the wrong bags. I mean, we were swapping bags back and forth, you know.
Sure.
Like we were in the pineapple zone. So it was,
the ultimate bag swap, right? You know what everybody has after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But
so yeah, I agree. That's a good point. And then at that point, it becomes corny. It's like, oh, here's my hidden thing. But like, it's in like, it's in the, you know, the magic locker. It's, you know, there's not a, it's not a bag of tricks. It's like, you know, the producer's locker of.
Yeah. And then if somebody gets like taken away and then like, or like when they're putting their mics on you, it's like, oh, you're watching everybody. You have to like, have like a private room, like where, like a private tent where they mic you up and then hand you your idol back before tribal council. And then what do you do after tribal council? You know? So I think that I like what Dalton is saying about that it being better TV if they did not know that they had it, but I just do not know how you would ever be able to enforce that.
Right. That's a very good point.
Yeah. Unless it's like you just get like a ticket of like, okay, you have an idol and then can claim your thing when you get to the tribal council that you want to use it. Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Steven, is there anything else from the episode you want to highlight before we dive into some questions?
No, I mean, again, like I just think these 90-minute episodes are great. Like they give us so much time for character development. I'm really enjoying the flashback, or the sorry, not the flashback, but like the home life, you know, integration of the stories of people. I know that that's a somewhat, is that still contentious? I know that there's a little bit of-
I don't know if it's contentious. You know, I've said what I, you know, that for me, I feel like that it gets a little, I don't want to say tired, but you know, everybody that it's, you know, 18 right, people and here's their struggle. Whereas I feel like that in Australian Survivor, and I think they do this so well, that there are going to be some people you have to like their struggle is a huge part of their story. But also they do it sometimes like, hey, this is this person's superpower. Like, here's why this person, like, here's this thing that's part of their background that is going to show us why they're going to win the game. And not just, okay, here's every single person, like, what they overcame to get to Survivor.
That's a really great point. I do feel like it becomes, I mean, it almost becomes like trivializing when every, like, no matter how, you know, you're putting, you know, no matter how serious it is, like, you know, it becomes like they're all on an equal plane. Like, this is my tragedy. Right. This is my tragedy.
18 people's tragedy. Most traumatic story. And so right. I think that for, you know, and then that's it's like we're comparing, okay, well, who had it worse? Like, who has more that they're trying to overcome? So I kind of wish that I love that they do it. I think it's a good idea, but I kind of wish that they would mix up exactly what we're seeing on them.
Right. What the tone of it is like, what the, and I like a lot of people, I mean, are not, I mean, maybe that this is, you know, me showing my Survivor age and my actual age, but I mean, I wasn't thinking of what I was there to overcome, you know, well, I was just like really
different time
to be fair. Like, yeah. And obviously like if they had, you know, asked me about tragedies in my life, I would have shared those, but I mean, just like the mindset, you know, I mean, and I guess if they're asking, then that becomes your mindset, right? Like when they're talking about it to you and saying, isn't this like what you are trying to overcome to power your way through this game? Suddenly that does become the thing. And I really felt it acutely in Second Chances, not to be compared with some of these people's tragedies at all, but like the idea that like the sort of narrative of the season and the narrative of the show then does start to define the way you look at the show. And obviously they're casting more with that in mind, of like people who have had great tragedies.
What's your why? And what's your why do you want to be here? And Second Chances is such an interesting season because the whole season was built around what is each person having to, you know, overcome just from the only in the perspective of the narrow prism of what they faced in Survivor, the things that they were trying to overcome and the things that were sort of like in some ways haunting and in some ways things that were still eating at them. About their first Survivor experience. And that was sort of something that was, I think, really fun and baked in about Survivor Second Chances.
Right. I mean, and obviously very different than you know, the extreme, I mean, but I feel connected to it. I like it's very moving, right? Like, I mean, I'm you know, even apart from it just being Survivor and how connected to Survivor, it's like very moving to hear these stories. And then they are finding people who have these amazing stories, who have suffered great tragedy, who have overcome enormous obstacles. And so I have been really deeply moved by that. And I agree with you, like it's a little, you could see there being a broader range of it. But overall, in terms of how the season storytelling is, I've really enjoyed it. I've loved how it's more focused on the characters and their interactions. Mm-hmm. 90 minutes and very few advantages, right? Like just very, and you know, there's still time for a lot of crazy advantages, but it's felt like, you know, this is what I like to watch about Survivor. I like to see the human relationships evolve. I like, you know, and these people and, you know, coming from wildly divergent experiences, coming together and being on in a group together and assessing each other and building relationships. And I feel like that this is really kind of, you know, in my sweet spot for that.
Yeah. And never before in the history of the show have we been 3.5 hours into the season and only two people have gone home.
Two episodes up. Yeah.
I mean, so we've really done a lot of work of establishing like who these characters are. And I think that we're in a really good spot here in episode two. A couple of people on Coco didn't get a lot tonight, but otherwise I feel like that of the 16 players left in the game, we have a pretty good understanding of everybody. I want to get to your questions. So if you're in the chat, ask away. Before that, let me just tell you briefly about everything that's coming up on our Survivor podcast feed. Of course, I told you about the exit interview, my interview with JD. I will also have Chantel Francis joining us on the Survivor Feedback Show this week. We do those live here on our YouTube channel and on Twitch at 6 p.m. Eastern on Fridays, plus the B&B. Shannon Gus has Survivor Global every week. Find out why Justine lost from David and Jessica, the Survivor Stockwatch with Taryn. And of course, Bryce and Wendell bring you the Purple Pants podcast, Survivor News Edition, every single week. All those podcasts are in our Survivor only podcast feed. All right. Let's go ahead and get some questions. Okay. How about this one, Steven? Let's start with Jack, who says, do you think that Jesse will be able to salvage his relationships with Dwight and Noelle? And will Dwight and Noelle now target Jesse going forward?
I mean, that certainly, you know, we've seen that in the past when someone kind of, you know, goes against their group, then the boomerangs back onto them. It's possible. It is possible. But I would imagine that you still have, and you could see sort of like, Cody and Neca don't seem like the people who are going to flip back on Jesse, right? Like they don't have to. No. There's nothing in it for them. So I mean, you know, you could see that happening in a different group of people. But I feel like with this specific group, Cody, Neca, and Jesse are probably going to be strong.
And Dwight still doesn't have his vote. So does he get his vote back after one tribal council? Was that the penalty?
I don't remember, but I think that's right. I think he lost a vote.
Yeah. Lost his vote for one tribal council. I was in my head thinking it was like the Beware advantage where he doesn't have his vote through the whole pre-merge potentially. So
that would be so terrible. Well, no, I'm pretty sure it's the next tribal council.
That was the issue for Xander, right?
But that was for an idol though. Like Xander didn't have because he had just like trying to power an idol. This was just, he wagered his vote at one tribal council, like for the advantage and then lost.
Okay. All right. How about a question from Tommy that I think we can answer. Okay.
Tommy wants to know, why do you think Justine voted for Cody? So this was a huge mistake, ended up being a huge mistake. Well, actually ended up having no impact, but do you want to answer that or should I?
Well, it was said in the episode that I believe that Justine and Noelle thought that everybody was going to be voting with them for NECA, but there was, you know, the age old question in the new era of Survivor of what happens if NECA hits the shot in the dark? We need to put another vote on somebody else. Now, the risk of, like, I guess, like, does the risk that, like, what are the chances that you are being betrayed versus what are the chances that NECA will have the presence of mind to play the shot in the dark and then also then
hit the
one and six. I like so.
Right. Well, that may be true. However, if Cody has betrayed them, they've lost anyway. So knowing that Dwight doesn't have a vote, if Jesse has betrayed them, they've lost anyway. Mm-hmm. So they have to assume Jesse, like if Jesse's voting against them, they're already out. Mm-hmm. So if Jesse's on their side, that's the only other option, right? Then it is actually worth splitting the votes. It's not a crazy decision.
Well, but you know, we have seen now almost two seasons in a row where that it could have been a 2-2 vote, where that, you know, they knew Dwight had lost a vote. Like, is it a foregone conclusion that if Jesse has flipped on them, that they've already lost?
Well, I mean, then they'd be wagering that someone else had lost their vote.
But that worked for Hai and Lydia.
Yeah, it almost happened. So that's a tough one. Like, is it riskier? Are you more assuming that someone could lose their vote? Or are you more assuming that NECA will both play her side of the dark and that it will hit? I mean, I it's impossible. Like, you know, though it's basically... That's a tough one. I mean,
I would wager, I guess, if I was out there, I'd be like, hey, if I haven't found the idol and it's day five, like there's a, I think it's better than 50% chance. Somebody on this tribe has found, has found the beware.
That's
advantage.
Interesting.
I don't think that they were thinking that, but I think it is like, you know, definitely like a possibility.
Well, and on the other hand, they had just been to an immunity challenge and no phrases were spoken. So it really depends on how much you're forced to speak the phrases. The, you know, based on their assumption of what the beware advantage would be. But that's a really good point. Like, you know that there's a possibility that there's a beware advantage with someone losing their vote. If that's the case, it very well could be one of those three people. So in that case, you would not want to split the vote. That's a very interesting point.
Okay. Sloan wants to know, could Cody have just hidden the idol and opened it after tribal, or did he have to leave it where he was? Steven, I think you have a better understanding of how this would work, but I think he can't move it, right?
It has to be on the hat?
No.
The advantage. Yes, I believe that he cannot move it. I think that was the rule. Like, if you pick this up, it is yours. I think you have to leave it. And you know, just to Sloan's point, that's another reason for Cody to open it, because if he doesn't, that thing was not, you know, that was not like tucked in the nook. That was right out there.
How do they miss that for 5 days?
Yeah. I mean, it's a big jungle. It is a big jungle. And it, like, it's wood colored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sometimes it just seems like that, you know, I don't want to be like a conspiracy guy, but sometimes it seems like, okay, the idols are hidden like very well. And other times it just kind of seems like, oh, like it was right here, like sticking out this whole time.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, truly, it's a big jungle. And like, if you're not looking, you know, you really got to be, you know, Cody found the bird poop before he even found the idol. So, you know, he was.
Yeah, I was like, what's this? It was a painted stick. Oh, this looks interesting.
I mean, Cody's an Easter egg hunt champion, so he was the right person for that hunt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about this question from Deanna?
All right, Deanna wants to know, do we have sufficient evidence to support 90-minute episodes?
Yeah, do we have sufficient evidence, Steven?
I think so.
Yeah.
I like it.
The challenge
Nobody wants to watch
is,
The Amazing Race anyway.
Stop it. How dare you? I've got a podcast that in the morning with Justin Mike. I think the issue, and The Bachelor does 2-hour episodes. You know, the international seasons of Survivor, they're all like an hour and 27 minutes, hour, 8 minutes. They're all like just like whatever time they feel like doing. I do wonder, like, you know, as we get like, you know, will Survivor outlast traditional like TV
commercials
lineups?
Yeah,
not commercials, but like, you know, does Survivor last long enough to get to the point where it's just go to Paramount Plus to watch Survivor, the new episode drops. And then could it be, you know, an hour and 12 minutes if necessary?
And we're all like robot brains floating in vats, like consuming it at our leisure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could be. We don't know.
It's not that crazy. Or, you know, honestly, what they should do, and you can have this for free, Paramount Plus, it's like, edit the episode longer and then say, like, watch the you know, extended cut, release the props cut on Paramount Plus.
I'm sure that's what the Survivor staff wants to be doing, is creating two separate cuts
Like, that's what the secret scenes were. I'm sure that they were like things that just got cut for time. Just leave them in and put that up on Paramount.
Yeah, but that's like a whole, you're talking about like an extra whole 30. I mean, it's, you know, you get to the whole flow of an episode, you know, you're not talking about just like adding, you know, a couple of 3 or 4 minute scenes.
They could do it.
Flow. It's not just about the content. It's about the flow.
Okay. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that we have that would that we haven't discussed already. This question from Mike, Stephen. Tyler wants to know, do you think that Mike will quit the game? Are you getting that in your super experience edit reading that we're headed towards what? Mike tapping out?
I'm out on edit reading. Like they have totally scrambled the way they edit the show. Yeah, it truly is a new era for editing. I mean, you know, the last two winners, I would never have, I did not guess. I was not even close to guessing, you know, Marianne and Erica, two wildly different edited winners. Neither of whom I thought, you know, was, I did not think was guessable. I guess people say that they there was, you know, after the, a lot of people after the fact say, oh yes, this was
it's, very predictable. It's very easy to do after.
Yeah. Even after the fact, I'm not sure I would guess that Erica would win season 41. I mean,
that's a weird one.
Based on her edit. So I've given up on that entirely.
I'm not getting that sense, though, that Gabler is ready to tap out.
They're definitely showing him as sort of like a goof, you know, in kind of a boo sort of way, you know, or like a, you know, just like someone who's always injuring themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think so. I think that was more just like drama around Gabler.
Okay. Steven, anything else about tonight's 90-minute Survivor?
I mean, I don't know, Rob. I think we pretty much nailed it. You might as well just call off the other podcast for the week.
I guess so. All right. I'll tell everybody to call it a quick week here and just focus on the Amazing Race. I mean, why do we do so much coverage of Survivor and only one recap of the Amazing Race? Maybe we should redistribute some of the assets.
There's a lot you can talk about with like how lost you can get in a taxi. You know, that's endless.
Well, they actually don't do taxis anymore, Steven.
Really?
Yeah, COVID thing.
What about open the windows?
That hasn't been a thing yet. Okay. All right. Well, Steven, of course, let me tell you a little bit about what else we're up to here on Rob Has a Podcast. We are raising money this month here at the start of the Survivor season. For each new subscriber we add to the Rob Has a Podcast feed, I am donating $2 to the Boys and Girls Club of America. So you can subscribe on as many devices as you want and on as many people's phones as you would like. And for each subscriber that we add, I will donate $2 to a very deserving cause, the Boys and Girls Club of America. You can search for Rob Has a Podcast wherever you get your podcasts or head on over to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. All right. Steven, this weekend, I am going to get back to it with Survivor Academy. Yeah. What lessons do you need to learn from Survivor 43? I've got a 5-part series called Survivor Academy, where each time out, we're going to go through a certain point of the game. We are 3.5 hours into the season. Thought it would be a good time to check in and work on the rules of what we have learned from Survivor 43. Mary Kwiatkowski, Frail Mary, will join me this Saturday for this patron-only podcast. We will be doing a 5-part series, and that is just one of the benefits you get when you become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Head on over to robhasapodcast.com/patron. How about that?
How did it go last time?
Oh, it was, well, we learned a lot about Survivor 42, but I felt like that not every single week there was necessarily some actionable lesson to take from the episode. So
I think
to do it as a series and then at the end of the season, even you can go back and listen to the 5 parts, then I think we can really sort of like,
that's very smart. Then it's not as like, oh, you don't know the ins and outs of that specific episode, so you're totally out of the loop.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that we'll do it. We'll do it in chapter. So Mary will join me this weekend for that. Okay. Steven is very excited. He's got the Amazing Race on pause. He's going to start it as soon as we get done with the podcast. I will be back. It's 90-minute Amazing Race tonight as well. Jessica Lise, Mike Bloom, and I will be together early in the morning, and we will get that out to you ASAP. Talk about
those driverless cars are going to get lost.
Mm-hmm. Check that out when we recap episode 2 of the Amazing Race, and I will have an exit interview with whatever team goes home on The Amazing Race. Steven, now next Wednesday night, it's going to be the kickoff of CBS Reality Wednesday when we get started with Survivor. And then after Survivor is going to be the, guess what's going to set sail? It's going to be the maiden voyage of the Real Love Boat. And so Jenny Autumn and I spoke with one of the co-hosts of the Real Love Boat, Jerry O'Connell.
Stopped
by yesterday. And we got to talk with Jerry O'Connell about what it was like to host the Real Love Boat.
Was it great?
It was a very fun interview. Even if you're not going to check out the Real Love Boat, it was really fun. Jerry O'Connell was on one, and he is a real personality, very verbose, had a lot to say. He was retweeting the interview today, so check out what he has to say. How did he come up with the signature catchphrase for the Real Love Boat?
Oh, that's fun. What is the signature? Well, do we know the signature catchphrase?
I know it now. I don't want to, spoil the interview, but
it would be fun to riff on it, but you already know the answer.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think it should be?
I don't want to riff without you riffing. Okay. When you riff, I'm more trying to like goad you into clever riffs. For me, it's not my role here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very fun time with Jerry O'Connell talking about the Real Love Boat. Check out that interview. Also, the video is up on robinswebsite.com/YouTube. Now, oh, look at this handsome guy.
I hate this. I don't know if I sent this photo to Matt or not. I look so smug. I hate this photo.
All right. Yeah, take it down. Take it down. All right. Send us your approved art that we can use.
I think I might have sent that to Matt.
Can we look at it? Can we look at it?
Yeah.
Okay. Stephen Fishback was on with Matt Scott on Pod Friends. Pod Friends is a series that Matt does talking with some of the RHAP personalities that you hear all the time, but find out. And basically, instead of how about Survivor gives you, here's my, 92-second flashback. No, how about this? How about a deep dive with Stephen Fishback about what's going on?
Flashback. Yeah. Yeah. It was very fun. Matt's a great interview. I was very impressed. Like, he just really cuts to the quick of everything. I would be rambling as one does. And he would be like, so the heart of what you just said is, whatever the heart was. Mm-hmm. It was very good.
Yeah. Okay. Check that out on Pod Friends. And then, Stephen, something that you might be interested in checking out. We are launching something brand new. Once upon a time, we did a little thing called Reality Game Master as well. In that spirit, Grace Leader is going to be taking the viewers of Rob as a Podcast on a new adventure where each month, Grace is going to be playing board games live with RHAP personalities. And Grace is going to be playing one of her favorite games this Saturday at 1 p.m. on Twitch and YouTube. It's Game of Thrones, the board game.
Oh, man, I'm so envious. I've always wanted to play this board game. It's like Diplomacy, but with like a Game of Thrones
Grace
overlay.
Says it's the best. It is.
It looks amazing.
From what I understand, it is a longer game. But check this lineup out that's going to be live Saturday at 1 p.m. Grace, Mike Bloom, Puya, Kirsten McInnes, DM Philly, and Taryn Armstrong will match wits as they play Game of Thrones, the board game, live on Roll Call. Once a month, Grace is going to be playing board games live with Rob as a Podcast personalities.
That sounds so fun.
Okay, maybe get Stephen Fish back sometime. All right. And of course,
I would really like to. I mean, but I don't think I could do like a whole day.
But it'd be a shorter game.
Yeah.
Connect Four. Think about it. Okay. Oh, and a big change over on Patreon that I used to tell people, hey, it's September 28th. Wait a couple days before you become a patron. And then because you will get charged for September, and then you will get charged again on October 1st, because that's the way that it works over on Patreon. They made a great change over on Patreon. Now, anytime is the best time to become a patron of Rob's Podcast, because you will be not charged again for 1 month from when you become a subscriber. So subscribe today, and you will not be charged for a full month, even though the date on the calendar will change in just a couple of days. robinswebsite.com/patron, get Survivor Academy, everything in our patron podcast feed, and much more at robinswebsite.com/patron. Okay. And then, of course, make sure you subscribe to all of our podcast feeds that you can find them all at robinswebsite.com/subscribe. All right, Steven, besides, okay, you got to watch The Amazing Race. You're going to be on Pod Friends. Check it out. What else is coming up for you?
Nothing, man. I'm just, you know, excited to...
Just vibing.
Yeah, just vibing. That's right. Oh, Fishy, obviously, for, I don't know, Jesse or Cody. I mean, Cody had some shenanigans. I mean, Cody also made a very bad decision with picking up. Mm-hmm. I guess you got to say Jesse, right? It's got to be Jesse.
I think that, right? Jesse. I mean, I love Jesse's positioning. So,
Jesse. Yeah.
Give it to Jesse. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you could get, Cody, Jesse, honorable mention for NECA. She got the sixth Infinity Stone.
She really led. By the way, you know, for all that Cody's the salesperson, NECA was the one who like did the
close the sale.
I'll give you my beads. Justine, or, you know, then Justine, like, or then she was like, oh, why don't you give them, you know, other person, Dwight? Like, you know, she was the one who was leading the charge of needing to give these beads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I am going to still say Jesse, I think.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Steven, great job here tonight. I want to talk briefly to all of our listeners in the pathway of Hurricane Ian. We're thinking of you. Okay. Please be safe out there. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.